went out tonight?
There's a word earlier, I think Monday, the Lord just began to speak this word. I've talked about it before a few times, you know, just stuff I've gone through, and I think the Lord wants us just to be reminded of some stuff to encourage us, you know, where we are. And the word was, I was thinking of this scripture in Acts, and I'll tell you where it is in a second. Through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. You know, the Lord just brought that word, and I hadn't thought of that word in a long time. And for much so, I had to go look and find where it, well, I couldn't even remember where that scripture was located. So I spent the day looking it up and just in the context of where it was written. And but that word just kept just churning, for lack of better words, in my spirit. You know, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. You know, we do really live in a pleasure-oriented society, you know, even as believers. You know, we really are in the West a very spoiled nation. You know, if you've ever been to third world countries or over to Africa or somewhere like that, you know, you really come back almost with like, good gosh, we have a lot of stuff, you know, and then we get caught up in because we don't have as much stuff as the other person has. But even as it goes on in our Christian walk, in our daily walk with the Lord, how we shun suffering and how we shun hardship and persecution and tribulation and the things I'm going to talk about tonight. But it's through the tribulation, many tribulations, that we enter or possess or experience the kingdom of God. And in Acts, I'm going to just use several scriptures tonight. I'm just hoping the Lord, we're probably just going to throw all this together, shake it, and see what falls out, you know, because there's just some things I think the Lord wants to encourage about ourselves, what this does for us, for others, and some freedom that it also brings. You wouldn't think that suffering or tribulation or distress brings freedom, but I'm going to show you some scriptures where it says it actually does, okay? So in Acts chapter 14, Paul, we'll just pick up. I'm not going to read the whole chapter to you. Starting in verse 19. But Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, having won over the multitudes. They stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. But while the disciples stood around him, he arose and entered the city. And the next day he went away with Barnabas to Derbe. And after they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, where they were beat up, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, saying, through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. So in context, I mean, Paul once again had his brains beat out, dragged out of the city. You know, everybody's heard about him, and returns to him and says, let me strengthen and encourage you. You just saw me just get whipped, thrown out of the city, stoned. Let me encourage you with these words. Through many tribulations, we're going to enter the kingdom of God. Well, it doesn't sound like much encouragement, you know. Like, okay, this is what I signed up for, you know. And I love, even in Hebrews chapter 11, where it says, you know, by faith they conquered kingdoms, and by faith they shut the mouths of lions. We're like, oh man, that's cool stuff. Then all of a sudden you say, by faith they were sawn in two. And by faith they were stoned. And by faith they were treated. They were outcasts and all this kind of stuff. We want to kind of stop there and, you know, check please. And I'm going to show you some stuff in here that I think is real cool that the Lord just really used to encourage me. But let's just go over the words we'll be talking about tonight. Tribulation, affliction and persecution, you know, we know what these are, but just, you know, we're all going to fall in this in some way in our lives. Tribulation is just severe trial or suffering in your circumstance. Affliction, state of pain, can be physical pain. Suzette is going through physical pain right now, been going through for a long time. Distress or grief, misery, loss, calamity. And persecution is to be subject to a cruel treatment, either by your faith or, you know, to where you're treated cruelly. Okay? Persecution. All right? Now, let's turn to 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 3. Starting in verse 1. Therefore, when we could endure it no longer, we thought it best to be left behind at Athens alone. And we sent Timothy, our brother, and God's fellow worker in the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you as to your faith, so that no man may be disturbed by these afflictions. And the reason he fled to Athens is because of afflictions. He once again was run out of a city. For you yourselves know that we have been destined for this. We've been destined for the purpose of afflictions. For indeed, when we were with you, we kept telling you in advance that we were going to suffer affliction. And so it came to pass. For this reason, when I could endure it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith, for fear that the tempter might have tempted you and our labor should be in vain. What he's saying is, I'm afraid that the tempter, when you heard about, I told you we were going to be afflicted, and when we were afflicted, I'm afraid that you scattered when you saw the affliction. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us good news of your faith and love, that you always think kindly of us, longing to see us, as we long to see you. For this reason, brethren, in all our distress and affliction, we are comforted about you through your faith. For now we really live if you stand firm in the Lord. So again, to strengthen and encourage these guys, he said, we're going to be afflicted. You know? And guess what, guys? You're going to be afflicted too. And I'm afraid lest the tempter come to you and tempt you, and you scatter in times of these afflictions. Okay? And one of the verses that's been going on over in my mind too, and I'll just tell you where it is if you want to turn there later, in Psalm 34:7, says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. And you'll see some other scripture we're going to talk about too. So one of the words the Lord's been giving us at Noonday Communion, if you've been here, is about a season of increased faith. Well, that and plus the Sundays we've been here. Bishop's been talking about faith. He said he really didn't intend to. It's not like he planned it out, but the Lord just said, all right, I want you to start talking about faith. Okay? But you think about how in the world do we grow in faith if we're never tried, or we're not afflicted, or we never go through any kind of tribulation or persecution. Many are the afflictions, and the Lord delivers them out of them all. See, when I'm afflicted or going through anything like that, or persecuted or suffering, or anything, and God delivers me, there's an increased measure in my faith that when I encounter the next one, I encounter it in a different way. I have a different outlook on it because I'm thinking, you know what? The Lord delivered me from this other. He'll deliver me from this one. And then the Lord delivers me from that one. And then I encounter another one. And the Lord delivers me from that one. And you'll see in a minute when Paul says, out of them all the Lord delivered me. So he went through that. I mean, the Lord used that. Even I was looking, reading in Acts chapter 9, you know, when Paul has this, Saul has the conversion and becomes Paul, you know, and Jesus, man, he just has this massive encounter with the Lord. And then the Lord tells him to go to Ananias, you know, and he tells Ananias, hey, I want you to pray for this guy because I'm going to show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. I don't know if he ever told Paul that. Maybe he did. You know, but I would think, what a bummer, you know, to get saved and then, hey, I got a word of the Lord for you. He's just going to show you through life how much you must suffer for His name's sake. Okay, that's supposed to encourage me. Well, yeah, well, you see later in life how it did. Because as a result of this, you'll see what God gave him. See, and that's what we're all, the encouragement's supposed to come to all of us. Is the prize worth the cost? Is the prize worth the cost? That's what suffering is all about, right? Okay. 2 Corinthians 8. Second Corinthians 8. Starting in verse 1. Now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God which has been given in the churches in Macedonia, that in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth with all their liberality. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, begging us with much entreaty for the favor of participation and support of the saints. And I'll stop right there, because what he's trying to encourage the Corinthians with is, in Macedonia, he was coming or sent to the Corinthians for a gift. They were supposed to give this big ministry gift. And he was encouraging them by telling about these guys, even out of their poverty, they just wanted to give in this liberality. There's one thing I saw today when I was reading that, then the great ordeal of affliction, where they were really afflicted. I mean, they were being physically persecuted, put to death for the name of Jesus. There was an overflow of joy in their life. There was a real release of the grace of God in their life. So one of the things, one of the benefits we get from affliction and suffering is a real release of the joy of the Lord. We all pray about joy, and probably all have gotten words about joy, right? I just see the Lord giving you joy. Okay, cool, Lord, that's awesome. And then, man, we just go through some hard times. Like, God, I thought you was going to give me joy. What's this? It don't look like joy. And he's saying, hello, this is how I release joy in you. It's through the affliction. Okay? It's in the affliction where I release the joy of the Lord. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and I'll show you. And I know we've all used this scripture before, and the Lord really used it in my life a lot. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Did I say chapter 4? Chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Starting in verse 4. Or 3, I mean. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. If we are afflicted, it's for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same suffering which we also suffer. And our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharers of our sufferings, so also you're sharers of our comfort. If we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction which came to us in Asia, we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even to life. How many of you have ever been there? Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, in order that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a peril of death and will deliver us. He on whom we have set our hope, he will deliver us. And God brought them to a place here where their only hope was God. You see, he uses affliction to bring you that. He narrows down all your choices to where there's one, and it's him. But even in the midst of that affliction, there says here, he releases this comfort or this presence of God. A presence of God that we can only know, that's only found in suffering and affliction. And with that, we're able to give that away to others. And that's the thing. Because I told you what we'll see today And I see tonight in reading this, that'll be kind of twofold. What God does in us and how God uses it in our lives for others' sake, for the brothers. I've been reading and using it a lot in my ministry. You know, talk to a lot of people and they're going through a lot of stuff and relational, emotional, a lot of suffering, you know. And I like to go and read Paul's in 2 Corinthians. Let's turn over there to chapter 11 real quick. I know I'm using a lot of scripture, but I think that we have to in this case, right? Starting in verse 23. He's defending his apostleship here. Are they servants of Christ? I speak as if insane. I more so. Far more labors and far more imprisonments. Beaten times without number. And often in danger. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. And if you saw the movie... what's the Mel Gibson movie about Christ? Yeah, where he was beaten like that. Paul had that 3 times. I mean, 5 times. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and day I've spent in the deep. That had to be rough. Can you imagine sitting out in the ocean, hanging onto a board, not knowing what's swimming under you? Oh my gosh. I've been on frequent journeys. In dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers amongst false brethren. I've been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights. How many of you have been through sleepless nights? I had one last night, you know. I was concentrating, man, I need to get some sleep. Oh my gosh. It just hit me. Paul went through many sleepless nights. Why don't you pray, Goof? You know. So I got my word out, Bible out, and began to read and spend time with the Lord, just praying. And had a good old time. And I thought, well, if I don't sleep, I don't sleep. Big deal. You're the strength of my life. And y'all, that's not like me. You got to understand. You know, that was the Lord. And I use that to say in our spoiledness, you know, that's just a big deal. I can't sleep. Well, pray. Big deal. You know, we're eternal beings. I'm going to go be with the Lord forever. So there are going to be suffering times where we don't get to sleep, where our bodies are in pain. And I guarantee his body was in pain a lot. And all that he had just been through, I just read to you. He'd been hungry and hunger and thirst, often without food, and cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there's the daily pressure upon me for concern for the churches. Who is weak without my being weak? You know? What he's saying is, what can you actually be going through that I hadn't been through? And Paul would never dog them or condemn them for that. You know? And that's sometimes why the Lord allows you to go through things. Suzette may never know, you know, which I really believe that God's going to heal her. How many people she'll be able to minister to? Christians who are struggling with back problems. Hey, encouraging them. This is what the Lord spoke. This is my journey. Let me help you through this journey. Let me walk you through this journey. You know, there's some things the Lord spoke to me. Now, I love how this goes right on into chapter 12. And I've never really noticed this before, because usually with the chapter divisions, we just kind of stop. Even with verses, we'll just kind of stop. But he goes on, and into chapter 12, he talks about boasting is not necessary, though it is not profitable, but I will go on to visions and revelations in the Lord. And he talks about a man who had been caught up into heaven. He's talking about himself. And then in verse 7, because of the surpassing greatness of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan. Okay, here's the deal, y'all. It's real simple. He got all these revelations and visions from the Lord because of the sufferings that he went through. You follow me? The way to get to greater revelations and greater visions and greater encounters with the Lord and third heaven visions is that you go through hard times, tribulations, sufferings. That's what does it. Because each of them builds a level of your faith up, see. You can't start as a new believer and have a third heaven vision here. You know, you don't even know what to do with it. Right? But as your faith increases, which through afflictions is the way the Lord does that, then so does your revelations. So does your encounters with the Lord. I remember late at night, and I may have told many of y'all this story, but a few years into my migraines, I was sitting on the porch one night, and the Lord gave me these two numbers. One of them was 19, and He said, I want you to remember number 19. And I thought, you got it. Remember number 19. I thought, what in the world could he be talking about? Well, it was a sleepless night. I was up all night with the headaches. And as I was just praying, you know, sitting there praying, kind of praying in the spirit, and had this vision of an angel there. And I could see it in my mind's eye, you know, because I see just like an outline. I knew it was an angel, and he spoke this word to me. And I can't remember the word. I wrote it down. It was pretty cool, and it was, I think, through some guys in our church about prayer or something like that. I can't remember. But anyway, in that I said, I'm going to ask this angel while he's talking to him. I'm going to ask him his name, you know, just to go for it. And I didn't think he'd probably hear anything. But I said, what's your name? And I heard Gabriel. And I'm like, yeah, right. You know, so I'm thinking, I'm making this up, Lord. And the Lord said, remember that number I gave you? And I said, yeah. He said, 19. I remember 19. He said, look at this chapter and look at verse 19. So I looked up verse 19, and this is what 19 said. And the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel who stands in the presence of God. And I've been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. Y'all, I was floored. You know, oh me, you've unbelief. Like, oh my God, he was just here, you know. But I say this. That was the mercy of God. That was part of the mercy of God. And part of, and I don't want to say the word reward like I've done anything, you know. But that's just part of the deal of suffering. And in that, pressing into the Lord instead of murmuring and complaining about why I wasn't getting any sleep or why I was hurting or why I was suffering so much. See, we get revelations like that. Now, I haven't had that since then. I hope I see that again one day. But I thought that was a pretty cool story to share with you to encourage, because I'm encouraging you and I'm strengthening you in the Lord that what you're going through, embrace it. See, the enemy tries to tell you the reason you're going through stuff is because of sin in your life and all this kind of stuff, and you've done something wrong, and, you know, or you wouldn't be going through this. I'm here to tell you this, the very opposite. God is in control, and you're going through what you're going through because He wants to strengthen your faith, and He wants to give you more than you could possibly imagine. Doesn't mean we don't keep praying for healing. We just keep praying for healing. We keep praying for healing for Scott. You know, he's going through really bad back stuff, and we just keep praying. But in the midst of that, we just keep encouraging each other, praying for each other, embracing, okay, God. And this one thing I quit doing early on, I quit asking God, why? Why, Lord? Why are you doing this to me? Why? Chunk all that. God, what are you doing? What are you doing? What in here are you trying to get to? With me, it was putting to death some fear. Oh, my gosh. I mean, when I first year into this migraines, and I've told a lot of you this, I was convinced I had a brain tumor. I was convinced that most of all y'all knew it. You know, y'all were praying, you know, had the prayer chain going, but y'all weren't telling me because you didn't want me to freak out, you know. I really thought that, y'all. I'm dying. I got a brain tumor. And man, this fear of death came over me, y'all, like I had never. I didn't think I feared death. I thought, well, you know, I'll die one day. But oh my gosh, I wouldn't even drive past a cemetery. I would go around. I hated going to Birmingham anywhere because you have to go past that one. And then they got somebody's name out there, you know, where you can see it like, so-and-so's dead, you know, woo. But the Lord really used that to put to death that in me, that fear of death, you know? Now I'm like, if I perish, you know, big deal. Because, see, being afraid like that, being fearful, will cause you not to risk. Make you be reserved. You don't go for it, you know? You'll be afraid that I'm going to be tired the next day, or I'm going to be afraid I'm going to do this, or I'm afraid of that, or afraid I won't. You know, gee, my nitties. But that's just one of the things of fear. Fear was the biggest thing he put to death in me, you know? Turn to 2 Timothy. All of a sudden, can't find it. Here we go. Chapter 3. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. But you, Timothy, followed my teaching, conduct, my purpose, my faith, my patience, my love, my perseverance, my persecutions and sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, which we just read earlier in Acts. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. And indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Amen. One of those words like, all righty. You want to live godly? You ever pray that? Lord, I want to be a godly woman or a godly man. You're going to be persecuted. Oh, man. But if you look at it, okay, then that means persecution creates godliness. Right? So that's one thing it does in me. Creates godliness. Christ-likeness. 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm trying to talk a little slower here, so I'm supposed to go to 7. Oh, I'm doing good. Told Roxanne I'd be through by 7:30. She's doing an awesome job with children's ministry, by the way, as well as Kristen is with our youth. I mean, it's just exploding over there, y'all. A lot of prayers have gone up for that. All right, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. If you have been called for this purpose, since Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example to follow in His footsteps. Meaning that He suffered for me, so therefore He left me an example of suffering. Who committed no sin, nor was any deceit in His mouth. While being reviled, He did not revile in return. While suffering, He uttered no threats, but He kept entrusting Himself to Him who judges rightly in the midst of suffering. He just kept entrusting Himself to God. All right, God, you know. And He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by His wounds you were healed. Christ leaving an example who died to sin and lived to righteousness. Now turn over to 1 Peter 4. Or if you maybe you don't have to turn, it might be right there on yours. I have to turn the page. 1 Peter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourself also with the same purpose, or the reason He did. Because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. That's little he. So as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for the lust of men, but for the will of God. So he who had suffered in the flesh is freed from sin. You follow me? Suffering frees me from the power of sin in my life. Fear is sin. Suffering set me free from sin. So therefore, suffering is good. Okay? Because it freed me from sin. Suffering can free me from all kinds of things. Right here it says, the lust of men. Goes on there, from pursuit of course of sensuality in verse 3, lust, drunkenness, carousals, drinking parties, abominable idolatries. and all of this arises. So God uses that to set me free from sin. Something you never think about, right? Jump over to verse 12. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. Don't we all do that when we encounter a fiery, what, this is strange, what can be, how, what's happening to me, Lord? You've forsaken me, my God, my God. So don't be surprised about it. It comes on you for your testing. Here's the testing of your faith. Because it's so precious to God, and as precious as gold. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing. So that at the revelation of His glory, you may rejoice with exultation. So here again, rejoice in the suffering, because you know what? There's going to be a revelation of God's glory in your life. The presence of God. That's the whole purpose of it, right? If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and God rest upon you. And by no means let you suffer as a murderer or evildoer or troublesome. If anyone suffers as a Christian, don't feel ashamed, but in it glorify God. Okay? A great gift to you and a great gift to me. We call out for God's glory. We want His presence. We want revelation. He said, okay, I'm fixing to really test your faith here. I'm fixing to send a fiery ordeal among you, because that's just what you prayed, and this is what I want to give you. In the midst of it, rejoice. Okay? Offer up thanksgiving. Thank you, God. I don't understand. It seems like it's getting worse. This person seems to be getting sicker. They're not getting any better. We rejoice in you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you for what Suzette's going through. We thank you for what Scott and Veronica, said it right, is going through. Different people, Robert, what he's going through. Rejoice, Lord. Because you know what? You're going to give them a manifestation of your glory. That's far beyond all comparison. That's how we can rejoice, see? All right. And I'll stop with that. So we see how God uses it for us, how we can minister to other people through what we've gone through. Doesn't it mean a lot to you if you ever sit and talk with somebody and they've actually been through what you're talking about? To know that, okay, creates kind of a compassion in you for those people when you've been there and you know it. And you've got stories to tell them to encourage them. Revelation, glory, faith, all that comes from, through many tribulations, we'll enter the kingdom of God. Amen? You ready, Brent?